You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za. The Knack and Maisha Rona request that came in on our WhatsApp at 072-447-8044. It brings the time to 11 minutes past 4, and it's time for us to... Hello.
Hello. Afternoon.
Don't you think that's one of those... Well, I call them the walk dance song.
A walk dance song.
Walk dance song. Oh, Maisha Rona, walk dance. It's like Mungo Jerry in the summertime. Okay? Yeah. You know what I mean by the walk dance song? It's like you go to a wedding and like you're the embarrassing uncle. You know what I mean? And they put you there in the back corner.
Yeah.
That okie.
Yeah, like you.
Well, no, not necessarily.
Oh, you're not the embarrassing uncle.
No, I'm not.
Okay, because
no.
I get put in the back.
Yeah, well, that I can understand.
Yeah.
The way you dress. But
yeah, thanks.
So, and then when that song comes on, that oak grabs his fro by the hand. Dan loop dance hulle.
Ons moet nog ouer van loop.
Ja, loop dans.
Okay.
Hulle loop dans to the dance floor to the rhythm.
Okay, very nice.
My Serena is a loop dance song and Mungo Jerry.
Ja.
Ja.
Nee, I see what you mean.
Loop dance.
I've seen that so often.
Yes. And it's always the okie that they put in the dark corner at the back because they know he's going to embarrass the family. It's always that oak. When he hears that song, kom vrou.
Dis ons song.
Ja, sê. Kom vrou.
Balka toe.
Off we go.
There we go.
Anyway.
Nice.
He's fearless. When he hears that song, he's fearless.
He's on there. And he's off. And then he's switching like anything afterwards.
Hey, gooi. Hey, gooi. Hey, gooi. Millie's sal gegooi word. And that's what happens.
Okay.
And as I say, he's fearless. Did you not get my little thing there?
No, I saw the intro there, but I didn't get it. But now, as you said it.
Yeah, I had to say it again and then give you all sorts of hand signs.
That's quite quick. Yeah, I thought you were waving at me quite.
Yeah.
This is radio, not TV.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
There we go.
So that brings us to our topic, fear.
Fear.
Yes.
Fear not.
Is it a friend or a foe?
Yeah, it's both.
Is it both?
It's both. Yeah, it's absolutely both. And I thought this would be, you know, sometimes we do programs that are, we're trying to help people and we, of course we're trying to help people here, but today, just something interesting and something quite different, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I was quite fascinated doing the research for this because you'll see why a little bit later in the show. But I think it's something we all know about. We all feel it. It's an emotion we have. And always, so it's not going to – it might help somebody today, but it's going to be more interesting to listen to today because there's a lot of stuff here that that happens to us, but we don't really know that the research that's gone on and the stuff around it and why it happens and what happens to other people actually. We think we're quite normal, you know, but what happens to other people with these things? So I thought it'd be quite nice to talk about it. So what is fear? Fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. So we need fear in our life. Mm. When we were cavemen, we needed to have fear because if that dinosaur came, we needed to either hit him on the head with a thing or run away.
And
if we didn't have weapons with us or whatever. So that's
a thing.
Frightened. Well, the club.
A thing. A club. Yeah.
Okay. Club, you just think to the club.
No,
not that club.
It's important to have a thing to eat with.
It was a thing with a nail put through it.
Okay.
You remember you got at the hardware store.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those came in and then they were flight and fright. You know, you're frightened, you ran. You know, there was stuff going on, you ran.
Mm.
Not he ran, you ran away.
You ran.
Okay.
So you jumped.
Jumped away. off the cliff. So while fear is a natural response in some situations, it can also lead to distress and disruption when extreme or out of proportion to the actual threat. So this is very important. Fear can also be a symptom of some mental disorders, including panic disorder, social anxiety disorder, phobias, and post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, which we all know. So there are three kinds of fear, three types of fear. There's rational fear, which occurs when there's a real imminent danger or threat. Then there's primal fear, which is defined as an innate fear, which is programmed into our brains and into us as human beings, as beings, right? And then there's irrational fear, which irrational fears are the ones that don't make any logical sense to most of us and can be differ from person to person.
Okay. They're real for the person who is affected
very
by
real,
it.
Very real.
But the person who does not affected by it, they don't.
Not everybody gets affected.
Yeah,
we have So there's normality, and then there's the strange one that that people have different fears. So the psychology of fear, and I did a research paper by Lisa Frischer, and it was medically, I'm going to say this as I go because you're going to see it's going to be, get quite crazy down the line here, medically reviewed by Daniel B. Block, MD. All right, so there are various types, as we know, and there's symptoms, there's diagnosis, there's causes of fear, there's types of fear, and there's treatment and coping, which I want to go through just briefly. So according to psychological research, fear is a primal emotion that involves a universal biochemical response. There we go. And a high individual emotional response as well. So fear alerts us to the presence of danger or the threat or harm, whether that fear is physical or psychological. Okay. So sometimes fear stems from real threats and sometimes from imagined dangers too. Okay, that's now it's getting quite interesting because fear can be a symptom of someone's mental health condition as well, also including the panic attack and the social anxiety disorder and phobias, which I really want to get involved with just now, and post-traumatic stress syndrome, as we know it as well, as we said. Fear is composed of two primary reactions. One is a biochemical reaction. Our bodies react and respond in different areas of the body. You know, we get cold or the stomach goes tight, or it's a fight and flight thing. And then there's the emotional response as well, which is highly personalized. So everybody will be different. So somebody sees fear, oh, I'm scared of that. I don't feel nothing. Or somebody says, oh my word, holy crap, I'm getting out of here. You know what I mean? So because fear involves some of these chemical reactions in our brains, it can also be happiness and excitement too. And feeling fear can be great, you know. You see a scary movie and you're enjoying it and you're just getting that response as well. And some people are adrenaline junkies. Adrenaline, say they love it. You know, the jumping off. Have you ever seen these guys jumping off with like a almost like a flotation thing that you put in the pool and they fly from cliff to cliff in these high mountains in the Alps? They live on extreme sports. I had a friend once that was a nurse, and she loved flying on the helicopters and doing response, not just normal nursing in the hospital. She really loved the adrenaline of the fast cars and the response cars and that kind of stuff. So what are the physical symptoms of fear? There's chest pains, there's chills, dry mouth, nausea, all of that, rapid heart rate, shortness of breath, sweating, trembling, and an upset stomach as well. Okay, and those are, and then you may experience psychological symptoms too, being overwhelmed, upset, a feeling out of control, or a sense of impending death or danger. And so diagnosing the fear, if you're having any of these things and you are feeling the stuff, please go to a doctor. You know, don't go to a mate or go to, you know, if you're getting it and it's sort of changing
ongoing,
your life.
If it's impacting your life.
Yeah. So please go to a doctor. If it's persistent and excessive feelings of fear. Fear is quite normal. So let's talk about phobias, okay? So one aspect of anxiety disorder can be the tendency to develop a fear of fear itself, okay, as well. A phobia is a twisting of a normal fear response. So fear is directed towards an object or a situation that does not actually cause any present danger. So you're feeling something, but it's not doing anything to you. It's doing something to you, but it's actually not dangerous. So I might look at this screen in front of me and say, that's making me nervous now. And you look at it and say, well, it's a screen.
What's your problem?
Drone radio on it and the news report. You know what I mean? What's going on?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And certain common fear triggers can include certain objects. Can be spiders, snakes, heights, or flying. That's quite normal, okay? Future events, imagined events, or real environmental dangers, or the unknown. Certain fears tend to be innate and maybe evolutionary influenced because they aid survival. So certain things are there for that. So others are learnt and others are connected to associations or traumatic experiences that you might have had. So that's why our experience is different. Mm. I know my dad, for instance, had sort of fear of crowds and things because of his PTSD from the concentration camps. You know, he had anxiety from that, and he struggled with that kind of stuff. So, types of fear: agoraphobia is a fear of places or situations that might cause panic, helplessness, or embarrassment. Then you've got generalized anxiety disorder, and you've got panic disorder. Okay, so the treatments: repeated exposure to certain things. So, say you fear flying, for instance. Mm. They will take you on a course, and they will put you on a situation where you go in and out of an airplane. Okay, and that's how they sort you out. One of the things that I have learned over the years is that what you do what you fear most, and you control the fear. Mm. You won't ever control fear totally. There'll always be something that'll make you nervous or whatever. But if you do it a lot, you control it. And you handle that fear no problem. Okay, so this approach forms the basis of some phobia treatments as well, where they systematic desensitize you from it as well. And there's another one called flooding, and with flooding you're exposed to vast quantities of these things. So say for instance you don't like snakes. Now Anthony Robbins, interesting enough, started off his career as an NLP specialist, and he I think it was something like 40 seconds, sorted out a woman's fear of snakes that she was hassling with a psychologist for many, many years. He sorted it out in 40 minutes. He had her on stage. He had her touch the snake, eventually put the snake around her neck, and sorted it out, which was amazing. So also the planes, as I said, you know, making you go up and down stairs and get into a plane and get out of a plane and get into a plane. And so coping with fear. How do we cope with fear? Here are some steps. You get social support. You practice mindfulness. You keep yourself calm, or you practice that mindfulness. You use less stress management techniques, muscle relaxation and that kind of stuff. And that's how you look after yourself. You take care of your health, you eat well, you regular exercise, and you get adequate sleep every night. We've spoken about this stuff before. It comes up in everything, doesn't it? So, common phobias. Now, this is where things get a bit crazy, okay? So, phobias are one of the most common mental illness in the United States as well. And we pretty much with them as well. But according to National Institute of Mental Health, approximately 12.5% of adults in the U.S. would deal with a specific phobia in their lifetime. So 12.5%, that's quite high.
Mm.
So, and women are more likely to experience phobias than men, which is quite interesting. And the typical symptoms of phobia can include nausea, trembling, heartbeat, feeling unreality, being preoccupied with the fear object or the thing that you're fearing. You're preoccupied with that thing. So social phobias, known as social anxiety disorder, is a phobia as well. There's three different kinds of phobias. The one is a social one. The one is agoraphobia, which I explained, irrational and extreme fear of being in places where difficult to escape, or you might be embarrassed, or you don't like lots of people around you, and you don't like leaving home. Or there can be specific phobias such as snakes and spiders and needles. And I know there are some people out there that I've mentioned the word snakes and they're already like feeling a bit clammy in the hands. So this is very real stuff. So it can be fear of natural environment. It can be related to animals. It can be medical treatments that can also trigger it, or fear related to specific situations that you're in. So one of the biggest fears is public speaking. 77% of people are fearful of public speaking. So that's important. But this is where this is what I love here. Now, I found this, and by the way, it's been reviewed by a doctor. Okay, so these things. So I'm not trying to be joking, or I'm not pulling anything here. So there are a number of fears and common phobias. And the interesting thing about the names of these fears, so for instance, spiders, arachnophobia, comes from the Greek words. So all the phobias that you have, you've got a Greek word in front of them. I don't know why the Greeks got involved in this, mm-hmm. Richard, but they got involved. And everything that's a phobia has got a Greek word. Okay. So
what are you? What's your phobia if you have a fear of Greeks?
It's Monakis Tetakis phobia. Okay. So, for instance, fear of heights, acrophobia. Okay. Acro is heights, right? Mm. Fear of flying is aerophobia. Okay. But let's get on some of the weird stuff. Okay. So, you get fears in these different things that I'm going to mention. I'm not going to go through the fear of whatever. I'm going to say a few things. Mm. All right. So, fear of needles, I've seen that. I've seen big guys in my industry, in the insurance industry, fall over having a blood test, right? Big guys. I'm talking rugby guys, okay? So there's fear of riding in a car. There is a fear of men. There's a fear of women. You have a fear of that. A fear of men is called androphobia, all right? So now you've got fear of flowers. Some people are scared of flowers. Can you imagine being scared of a flower? Fear of people or society, that I kind of get that. Fear of peanut butter. There's a fear of peanut butter. No, this is medically reviewed. Don't look at me like that. This is medically reviewed, okay? Fear of spiders, fear of numbers, fear of outer space. Fear of imperfection. Fear of failure, which is a normal one as well. Fear of human-like figures. So you're a fear of human-like figures. I once was recruiting somebody to come into the insurance industry, and she had a fear of driving on highways. She refused to drive on a highway. She would not go on a highway. There's a fear of bacteria, a fear of gravity. Can you imagine having a fear of gravity? Fear of books is a fear. It's called bibliophobia.
Mm.
Yeah. Fear of ugliness. Fear of ugliness. Fear of snow. Some people fear snow. Clocks, tick, 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 tick. You're scared of that. Okay. Fear of confined spaces, that I get. I understand that. Fear of climbing. Fear of dogs, I get as well. Fear of accidents. Fear of houses. Fear of trees. Fear of dentists, I get as well. Fear of sex. Fear of horses. Fear of insects, I kind of get that. Fear of knees. This is where it starts getting a bit weird. Fear of knees, fear of blood, reptiles, I get. Okay, so here's the funny one, and I had to look at this review thing again by the doctor, okay? But the fear of long words, okay? You won't believe what it's called. It's called...
That's probably a long word.
No, it's a long word. That's a long word. I'm going to struggle, and I'm on live on radio, so it's a bit embarrassing. But this is the fear of long words. It's called hypnopotomonstrosequipedaliophobia.
So I've got this now.
Yeah, you're getting this now. Yeah, you feel wrong with.
And I've got to explain to a doctor.
Yes.
This is what I've got. And collapse on the floor.
You write it down and you read it. You know what I mean? Fear of illness, fear of buttons, drugs. A fear of small things. Fear of small things. Fear of the night. Fear of hospitals. Fear of the dark. Fear of snakes, birds, smells, shellfish. Fear of kissing, fear of love, fear of feet. Some people, they can't stand other people's feet or their feet. It's like, you know. Fear of technology. I'm going to find some other weird ones here. Fear of vacuum cleaners.
I have one of those. I have a fear of vacuum cleaners.
I do.
Dishwashers.
The kitchen in general. Yeah, you just stay out of there. Yeah. Okay, it's because of your
washing
phobia.
Machines.
It's called the kitchen, not phobias. Yeah. Crazy stuff. So, but to some people, this is real. And I mean, I must tell you about Angus McGregor, the toughest guy I ever met in my whole life. He was
I knew him.
You knew him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a Scotsman and he was a SAS Special Forces.
Yes.
He was in Borneo and they were going on some exercise. He wouldn't go through a fence because there was a spider on it.
Yes. Yeah.
The toughest oak in the world. So, but these things are real, and what they get, tight-chested, and they get hot flushes, and difficulty breathing, and dizziness, and dry mouth, and all of these things. So what causes all these phobias? Okay, it's genetics. People who, with a close family member with a phobia, anxiety, will have greater risk of phobias, of course. And then there's traumatic experiences that happen in your life, like you get attacked by a dog, for instance. And so all of a sudden, I have a colleague that got attacked by two pit bulls, and now the dog thing is crazy.
That makes sense because it's an action or an event or something that has triggered that.
Correct.
All right?
Correct.
But I cannot for the life of me think what, like a bed of daisies has ever done to you that would make you – react that way. But for the person who has that fear, it's very real.
Absolutely real.
Very, very real. And you know, we make light of it now while we're talking about it because we don't have any of those.
Yeah.
All right? But if one of us did, the other one person would be feeling a little tense and awkward and, you know, clammy and start showing the physical symptoms of real fear.
Yes, and so it's really real for them.
Yeah, it's real.
It's not
for
a joke. Although we're making light of it now because we can and we're normal and we can do this. Mm. But to those people, if you have somebody who has that, I mean, somebody has a fear of knees, don't go to the beach with that person because they're not going to have a good time.
No.
You know what I mean? You've got to be careful. So there are common and rare phobias, and we need to understand them. There's a thing called spectrophobia, which is the fear of mirrors. I know you've got somebody online. Somebody said what?
I said, did we mention a weird one, which is a fear of clowns? There are people
Who
are really very, very scared of clowns.
No, my daughter's one of them.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got it here somewhere. Mm. I'll find out what it's called. There is. I saw it here, but I'll find it. But there is a fear of clowns, and I'd be interesting to see what it's. Yeah, fear of clowns is a coldrophobia. Coldrophobia is fear of clowns, and you can have a cyberphobia, fear of computers, and a cynophobia, fear of dogs.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, absolutely. Yeah, and be interesting to see if anybody has got something interesting that they could let us know. So the treatment, exposure treatment, obviously in vivo exposure involves being exposed to the source of your fear in real life. Virtual exposure involves using virtual reality to practice gradual exposure. And then, of course, systematic desensitization as well, which is important as well. And cognitive behavioral therapy involves learning to identify the underlying negative thoughts that contribute to the feelings of the fear as well. So phobias can be a serious impact on any well-being on your life. So it is important to make sure you sort it out. And remember, you're not alone. There are lots of people that have these things, even if it's like obscure, like fear of mirrors. There are lots of people who have that.
I think the very important thing here is this, that the one thing you don't want to be doing is teasing or ragging somebody who has that fear.
Of course not.
And it's for them, it's a very real thing. We may think, you know, it's nonsensical or it's not rational. But for that, and to understand that if somebody does come along to you and say, listen, I can't come to your house because you have a bed of daisies that I'm scared of. You seriously? No, I can see.
Would you please put some slacks on? Your knees are, you
can't laugh it off. It's very difficult, but you really have to be serious.
No, you do.
And you have to say, okay, I respect that fear.
You have to understand.
And you have to understand it. And that's what this conversation is about.
Sure.
Because if you do laugh that person off, oh, come on, do me a favor, daisies, what's wrong with you? You belittle that person to a point where their self-esteem takes a knock. And then, you know, the downward spiral starts and then they end up, you know, doing whatever. It affects them psychologically and possibly even physically.
Sure.
So it's very, very important to recognize and respect those fears.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. I mean, somebody's got a cut on their arm, you don't slap them on the side of the arm. You know what I mean? It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Don't hurt somebody that's hurting.
Yes.
Okay.
Very important.
I hear what you're saying. For sure.
I remember being in Thailand, we were on holiday in Thailand, and it was quite funny because there was a New Zealand guy there, a guy from New Zealand, and it was at the time of the Tri Nations or something.
Oh,
like
he got
that.
There after you then? He came second to you.
No, he was there, and he heard that I was a South African, and at that time, the All Blacks were cock-a-hoop. I mean, you know, you couldn't And he started to tease me about the Springbok rugby team, which was not the right thing to do because he'd picked on the only South African in Thailand that was a New Zealander supporter. And not only that, a Hurricane supporter in the Super 12 or whatever it was, the same team he supported. So he got that all wrong. Yeah, and we befriended one another and we spent some time in Thailand together. And we were walking down a road, all of us, Mervyn and Pam Stemmert with us and Judy and myself and this couple. Mm. And all of a sudden, from nowhere, this oak took off and ran, literally ran in front of traffic, ran in front of, and he just took off down the road.
Did he see a Springbok supporter?
You know what he saw? A chicken.
Ah.
He saw a chicken. Okay. This guy has a phobia of birds and chickens. If the birds would come on the balcony where he's in his hotel, he wouldn't go out there.
That's big.
Huge. And I started laughing about it. And then his wife explained, you have no idea. And so it was there that I learned to respect that fear is real.
Yeah.
And for him, it was a very, very scary experience.
Yeah, you know,
seeing that chicken.
Yeah, and an interesting experience for you, a learning curve for you as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Curve for all of that us. Point, I used to. Yeah. I mean, my father had a fear of chameleons, a phobia.
Yeah,
and whenever it was time for me to get a hiding, we had a honeysuckle hedge in our garden full of chameleons, and I used to just put them all around my room. He wouldn't come in. He wouldn't come in.
Such a manipulator.
Yeah, but the thing is, I didn't go out either.
Yeah.
unless I had handfuls of chameleons. But he had and he was a strapping 6'4" man who, walked through a barn door. But he was scared of chameleons.
Sure, and that's why it's so real. You see, I mean, I've seen big rugby players, go in for a medical and they see the needle.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just to finish up, I know our time's short. I want to just quickly go through seven fears that stop you from reaching your full potential as a person. Okay, let's learn the phobias now. Let's look at life.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are seven fears that can disempower you. Mental fear of not knowing enough. You fear that you don't know enough, and that's why you don't go ahead with certain things. If you've got a project you want to do, or there's something you want to get involved with, I don't know enough about that, why I won't do it. So don't be fearful of that. Okay. Vocationally, fear of failure. You're scared of failing. Just not what happens. I do this and I look like an idiot, or I fail in it. Don't worry about it. Fail. It's good. Failure is good. Failure is brilliant. A financial fear of poverty and loss of money. That's another big one. Put some money away and relax and just plan it then. Mm. Don't worry about it. Go for these things that you want to do.
Can use that fear now in a positive way.
In a positive way. I'm trying to stop on a positive. Yeah. The fear of losing a loved one. It could be that if you go into this business or you do go overseas or you fear of losing your partner or something like that. So I won't go to Dubai and do business because I fear my partner might leave me or whatever it is. Fear of social rejection. You know, somebody says I'm going to become a ballet dancer, Richard, and the fear of social rejection if you want to do that. Fear of ill health or disease or dying or death or whatever it is, or a spiritual fear of breaking the ethics of some perceived authority. That you might be worried about that, maybe that authority, that spiritual authority, would not look kindly on you if you actually did this kind of job or you did go into this kind of thing as well. So you can break through or break down in all seven areas of your life. So please don't fear things. You know, talk about it, get involved with it, understand what it is in your life. And then go through it and do it, and just don't fear lots of things as far as you can help, because there are these other things and use sense of humor to sort it out and talk about it. And if you really are fearful of something and it really is blocking your growth and your life, please go and see a therapist and get through it and go through it, because your life is, it's yours and it's now to live, and don't be fearful of things. It's normal to be fearful. It's good. But there can be the negative side, can stop you.
The rational fears are the ones that you can manage.
Correct.
I don't know that it's easy for somebody to manage an irrational fear of, spiders or something like that, or that they really need to. But I think when it comes to living life, the primal fear is pretty much about survival. In other words, if you see a car coming towards you, get out of the road.
Good idea.
Because you do have a fear of being knocked down.
Sure.
Or if you, standing on the edge, too close to the edge of the cliff, and you have a fear of heights, get away from the edge of the cliff because that could be life-changing. I don't know that an encounter with a daisy bed is going to be something that's going to, you know, change your life or stop you functioning completely.
No.
You know, you can move away from the, you know, don't go to the, you know,
don't go running, running with your girlfriend hand in hand through the daisy bushes. Yeah, don't do that.
You know.
So there we go, Rich. I just thought it'd be very interesting and you know, just inspiring, hopefully, to those people and give people a bit of a sense of humor sometimes about these things. But just realize, as you said, it is a very serious thing to some people. It's quite strange to us. But respect and understanding.
But those are the irrational ones we're talking about.
Yeah, irrational
Primal
ones.
Primal fear we understand. We understand all that. Understand. Yeah, and we good. All understand rational fear.
Yeah, and it's all good.
And that is good. But and in the, on those fronts, it's both friend and foe.
Correct. That's the point.
Yeah.
It's, yep.
Okay.
All right.
Jeez, it took you a long time to get to that.
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But next time, I'll be shorter. Another hour.
Sure.
Yeah.
What did Jan say? Fear of going underwater. Yeah. Well, yep. I know many people like that. They've been hit by a wave when they were a child and they won't go under the water.
Water, swimming.
There we go. Yep. All right. Thank you, Jeff. We'll talk to you again, in 2 weeks' time.
Yes, 100%. Okay.
And I'm not scared of that. Let me tell you.
I'm very scared of that, actually.
Are you actually? Yeah. That's an irrational fear.
It's irrational.
Yeah.
Irrational.
All right. Go now. We're bored with you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Cheers.